My name's Chris. I'm the youth pastor here. If you didn't know that, you do now. And I've been the youth pastor here for 16 years. We are starting year number 17, which is nuts. Crazy. So crazy. The name of the series that we're going to do is God So Loved. So this is how this came to be. So since I came back from sabbatical, so I was away from the church for 3 months. That's why I didn't come to youth in May, by the way. You knew that, but now you weren't here in May, now you do know that. So, 3 months, and then I came back, and what part of what I didn't do for 3 months is think about church stuff, or our church specifically. And so I came back, and one of the first things I was thinking when I came back was like, okay, I did, like, recharge was planned, and all these other things were already planned, but what I didn't have was confirmation of what we should speak on. Like, what do our teens need to learn? Like, where do we need to go with this? And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I just got nothing. And I'm like, we could do this, we could do this. But I just didn't have a yes in my heart, kind of. And so one of the students came into my office and asked if she could have a meeting. And I'm like, okay. And so she came and she's talking about what she learned over the summer, and that God's love was something that was really compelling. And if we actually understood how deeply God loves us, it would change the way we live our lives. It would change the way we think about ourselves. It would change the way we think about God. It would change the way we think about others. And I was like, cool, that's good. And as she's talking, I'm listening, sort of. It's faith, by the way. Everybody knows. she's talking, and I'm like, my mind has already started racing, going like, this is it. This is it. I think this is it. Because I'd been asking God, what do the teens need to hear? And so he brought a teen to me to tell me what they needed to hear. So that's awesome. So if this series sucks, you can totally blame faith. If it's really good, you can say, oh, it's all Chris. Yeah. If it's really bad, a stinker, going like, it's all faith's fault. Where's faith? If she's not here, where'd she go? Oh. She's been found out. Okay, well, she missed that part, so you guys can fill her in later that we made fun of her, and it's all her fault because it's bad. Okay, and so I really got to thinking, I'm like, this is cool. I want to think about this for myself. So I said, okay, self. I didn't say that, but all right, self. Chris, what do you think about God's love? And so I started thinking about it. Okay, so how has this changed my life? And I looked at my life and I went, wow, this has been drastic for me, because I've been where you are. I've been questioning whether God really loves me. I've been in that spot. And I'm not saying you're all there, but I know some of you guys, probably most of you guys, really struggle with that. Can I just say all of us struggle with it a little bit? You never stop fully struggling with the fact that God loves you. And part of it, I think, is because as we grow older, we start to recognize our own sinfulness and the things that drag us down. We get down on ourselves differently. You don't see this, well, sometimes in little kids, but not very often, right? So you see these little kids and, you know, like, I'll just pick on my 8-year-old Everett. Like, she comes back from school and she tells what she learns, and there hasn't been any kind of thought process in her going like, I wonder if this teacher is telling the truth. I wonder, like, there's just not that, it's not there yet. And yet, as you grow older, that starts to happen, right? So even when I'm up here speaking, and I hit on a topic what you're not sure on, you all of a sudden you're kind of thinking about it. Oh, I don't know, is that true, right? But you don't do that as a little kid, right? You're sitting in class and the teacher's teaching you stuff and you're just going like, oh, okay, I didn't know that, now I do. Right? It's just like, oh, wow. So something happens when we grow, and so this was what intrigued me, because as I'm thinking back in my life, I'm going, okay, so where did it switch for me? And for me, there's two moments in my life where I was struggling so deeply with whether God loved me or not. And there's many moments, but there's two moments specifically where I felt God immediately answered a prayer. One of them, I was 18, and I know I struggled with this before, but this is, you know, I graduated from school, I was working in a seed mill on a night shift. And I remember just wondering, is this stuff I've been learning all true? Like, does God really love me? Because I feel dirty. I feel like I'm not worthy of love. I feel all of these things. And so I remember sitting behind my boss's desk, because he was gone. feet up on the desk. And I just started praying. I was like, okay, God, I don't know. Do you really love me? And it was moments later, I felt this incredible presence and warmth. And it felt like God gave me a hug. Okay, that sounds really weird. Okay? You're going like, what? I'm like, yes. This is a sig. I remember I was 18 years old. I don't remember a lot when I was 18 years old. I did some really dumb stuff. but I remember sitting at work and God just, it was like he gave me a hug and said yes. And I was like, what just happened? This is nuts. I just felt warm all over. I'm like, this is crazy. So one of the things that, again, struggling with God's love. So I kind of accepted it there. I went to Bible college and learning about God. And then I had a time in my life where I walked away from God. So it was about 4 years, and I just got into all sorts of stuff. I started doubting all the stuff that God said was true. And, of course, when you start doubting what God says is true, what comes right on the heels is you start doubting that God has love for you, that he says he has love for you. What's going on down here? Sorry. I'm like trying to listen to you guys. It's like, hey, this is interesting. anyway, where was I? Okay, so I'd walked away from God. I'd thrown it all away, and right on the, I think following on the heels of deciding or really doubting whether what God says is true is whether God actually loves you. That's just right. That's the first step. We're going to talk about that in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Anyway, I go through this period of time. God, I feel like God's calling me back to Bible school. I'm in the middle of a science degree, and I'm like, I love science, and I don't want to go back to Bible school. I want to finish my Bachelor of Science. And I just felt compelled. And it was just like, what is going on? I've been walking away from God this whole time, and now I'm looking, and I feel like God's given me an option. He's kind of laying it down for me. Now's the time. Either follow me or do your own thing. It was just like, it really scared me. I was like, what? Just what's happening? So anyway, I ended up going back to Bible college, found out I only need one class to finish. like, oh, that's kind of dumb. Drove all the way to Regina. And they told me, well, why don't you try seminary? So I tried seminary and loved it. It was actually awesome. And I remember at the retreat, and I'm sitting, I'm really struggling with this whole thing. How in the world, especially what I just came out of and just left behind, going like, how in the world are you calling me, I'm talking to God, how in the world are you calling me back to Bible college? I feel filthy. I feel like I've thrown a lot of my life away. I feel like I've made some huge mistakes. How can I be here? And I hated the place. I thought Regina was horrible. I remember sitting on this rock and just praying, and there was the sun. I could feel the warmth of the sun. And then all of a sudden, I just felt, again, this warmth, like way warmer than the sun. And it just flooded. I could feel it like from head to toe. And I was like, whoa, what just happened? And it was another one of those moments in my life where I felt like God was communicating to me that he loved me, that it was okay. Well, it wasn't okay that I'd wandered, but that Christ, well, he, okay, this is my words now. This is what, I didn't know this then, but that Christ had covered my sin, and it wasn't whether I was good enough to approach God that allowed me to actually come into God's presence. It was Christ. It was what Jesus had done for me. And so those are two really significant moments in my life when I think about God and his communication of love. Now, I can tell you a whole bunch of other ones that are more practical. All right? Because here's my fear. In telling you those times, my fear is that you're going to go home and go like, all right, God, please show me you love me, and wait for that. Because that may not be what God has for you. It might be. Ask him. I'm not telling you not to ask him. But if he doesn't communicate that way to you now, he might later. He might not ever. It might be something different. But here's what I really want you to understand, is that God will communicate his love to you through different ways. For me, that's what I needed at the time. And in other times, like through my family, through my kids, like I just go like, wow, like God has just given us this awesome family and great kids, and I just like, I feel like that's God expressing his love to me. And so that's kind of my personal journey through all that kind of stuff. So here's just a few questions. Have you ever wondered why you start to doubt or forget some of the truths that you may have believed when you were a kid? Now, I'm not assuming everyone believed when you were a kid, but if you did, do you wonder that sometimes? Do you wonder why it was so much easier when you were little to kind of go like, yeah, like Jesus loves me. What are you talking about? Right? So if I was to ask, again, I'll pick on my 8-year-old. If I was to ask her that, she'd just be like, what are you talking? Of course. Like there's not a shred of doubt in her mind right now at her age that Jesus loves her. And we tell her about the Bible. We tell her the stories. There is zero doubt or zero kind of going like, I wonder if that's true in her mind. As she looks at the Bible, she believes it's true. She believes what Jesus did was for us. She believes all these things, right? So what happens? Like, I want you guys to think about your own life. Like, when did doubts start to creep in? And you're going to go through some of these questions in your small group. So you don't have to, and I'm not looking for you to answer that out loud. Okay, here's another question. And so these questions I've asked because I've felt these myself. When you sin, do you think God is angry and wants to punish you? Do you think he wants to get you back? Do you think he wants to like, oh, that person did that, they're going to pay for that? Because I have definitely felt that through a large portion of my life. I've struggled with that. How about this? When you're good, or you think you've been doing the right things, do you think it's unfair when things go badly in your life? Have you ever maybe even said to God, that is really unfair that this is happening to me? I am guilty. I've said that. What do you think would happen? Okay, so this is kind of maybe the key question for this whole talk. What do you think would happen if you really believed that God loved you unconditionally? Okay, you're going to unpack that in your groups a little bit, unconditionally. Basically, what it means is that no matter what, God loves you. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter where you go, no matter what you look like, no matter what color skin you have, no matter what color hair you have, or if you have hair, or more hair or less hair. Like we put so much stock in these things and God doesn't. And so for me, like, I believe that God loves me unconditionally, but man, it is tough because I have never experienced unconditional love from anyone else. You guys realize that? I mean, the closest thing is maybe my parents, but even that is like, it doesn't compare to God's unconditional love. All right, so here's where we're going to go today. We're just going to talk about, I didn't put the Bibles out because we're only going to go through 2 verses. And the first one is, you guys talked about it last week. All right, we don't have a PowerPoint person anymore. Well, there we go. She disappeared, our PowerPoint person. Okay, so you guys recognize this? Is this unfamiliar or familiar? It's familiar. Why is that familiar? How many of you would say this is probably the first memory verse you ever learned? Why? Why do you think that it's the first one? Why would adults want you to learn this verse? All right. Anybody? It is a pretty good summary, yeah. But why this verse? There's lots of good verses that do this. So what is it with this verse? How many times have you heard this verse? 90,000 times. So, let's say, what's your favorite? What your favorite show is? Favorite show. Friends. What? Supernatural. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Two Worlds. I don't even know. I haven't even heard of these shows. Okay, I have heard of Friends. You guys have heard of Friends? All right, let's pick on Friends. Okay, so let's say you have a favorite episode. Do you have a favorite episode? Yeah. Yeah? Okay, sure. Let's go with that. Season 7, Episode 6. My favoriteest of all. All right, what would happen if you decided that that you were going to watch that show 150 times. Okay, now compare it to the first time you ever watched that show. Depends on the show. All right, here's my point. Here's my point. The reason that you would watch it 150 times is actually from the reaction you had during the first time you watched it. Right? It's the first time that drew you in. So even a movie, right? Nothing is like the first time. You watch it the first time, draws you in, you're not sure what's going to happen, you got to guess, right? And even if you think you know, it still it hasn't unfolded yet. And it does, especially those ones with great twists. And then, because then you can't watch them after because you know what's going to happen, right? Right? Yeah. So that's what I want you guys to think about sometimes, about what happens to us when we have really familiar, when we hear stuff really familiar in the Bible. Because here's, I'll answer my own question. Why do we teach this to the little kids? Why is this the first one you learn? I mean, Faith kind of hit it on the head there. This kind of encapsulates, why am I using that word? We're going back to the basics. What? Okay, this kind of is the basis for our faith. Okay, it's coming right back down to the basics. And here's how it goes, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Okay, I want to unpack this for you because I want us to, here's one of the things I learned in my time away is that, or went into it, I wanted to rediscover wonder, okay? So here's a little bit of a challenge for you guys. When you read the Bible, it is possible to be completely blown away by what you read, but it takes some work, okay? Because if you're just going to read it, and then put it down and not actually contemplate. Oh, look at, I'm using those words again. Haven't thought about what's actually going on in the text and who God is and what he's communicating to you through this word, then you don't capture the wonder. So here, I want us to recapture the wonder of John 3:16. So here is the deal. The motivation for God's action, for all of his actions in the entire Bible, is summed up in this one verse. And it's right at the start. For God so loved. This is one of the reasons why this is such a powerful verse, you guys, is that the motivation for God's actions is summed up in this little statement. That the motivation for him creating us, that the motivation for his presence with us, the motivation for the things that he does, the motivation for what he tells us and how he wants us to live in the Bible is all based on that right there. Because God so loved the world, because the world is his creation, right? The world and everything in it is his. He loves it. And so it's what it's doing right off the start is it's exposing God's motivation for every action that God does. It is motivated by love. Let's just think about that for a second. Just think of if every single one of your actions and thoughts was motivated by love. Like unconditional love. Like, whoa! Isn't that incredible? Just think about that for a second. Every single action. I mean, even when you read about some of the crazy stuff that happened in the Bible in the Old Testament, you realize that underlying all of those actions is love. What? Yeah, we're gonna uncover that in the weeks to come. Okay, so we discover God's motivation. Secondly, the reason that he decided to save us was because he loved us. Okay, you can stay on that PowerPoint for pretty much the whole time. All right, I just only have like two slides. This is the main one. Okay? So God loved. So this is his motivation. So what did he do with the love? Gave.
He giveth, and the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away.
Okay, this is what God did with this love. Okay? So all of his motivation is wrapped up here. I mean, everything that God does is motivated by love. He decided to give his one and only son. Now, this is harder to understand. It's hard for us to understand this. It's hard for us to understand. And maybe I understand a little bit more because I have kids, but I don't think so fully. It's because my understanding is like maybe like that much of this huge, huge concept that God would give his one and only son. It's like giving up our phone. Come on! That's nothing! This is a piece of hardware. You can give it up. You can give it up. Throw it away. Okay, so here's another thing that we just kind of, God gave his son. When it says that God gave, I mean, this, so God's motivation was love, and so what do you do about it? He gave. This isn't just like, hey, here's a present for you guys. He sent his son to die a horrible death for us. Okay? Jesus was innocent. He didn't have to do it. God didn't have to save us. He was motivated by love, and so he gave his son. So those few words right there kind of sum up and give us a picture of what motivated God and what he did about something. Now, what isn't in this is why. Why would he have to give his son? Right? That's why we have the rest of the Bible. We don't just have one verse, right? So why? Well, it's because of sin, right? So when we sinned, so Adam and Eve, starting with Adam and Eve, when they sinned, and then every human person after that, sin is the most destructive force in the universe. You guys realize this? That nuclear bombs are nothing compared to sin. Sin is actually responsible for the entire downfall of mankind, for all the wars, all the rape and the stealing and the killing and the racial bombs, yeah. Sure. All of that stuff is a result of sin. Okay? So at the base of all the racism and the hatred and all the things that are going on in our world is sin. It's at the base. It's at the core. And it's destroying the world. And so what did God do about that? See, God cares about his creation. We're going to talk about this next week. But people are different. God set people apart. We're different from the rest of creation. We're going to talk about this next week, so I'm not going to give it away. But there is a huge difference. And so when God gave his son, it wasn't because he wanted to save all of creation in the universe. It's because he cares about creation, but his main goal was to save humans. And we're going to talk about why next week. Haha, so you got to come. All right. Okay, so let's keep going. So we got God's motivation and then what he did, and now it comes to us. This is our part. And it says that whosoever believes, yeah, you can just stay on this verse the whole time. Well, that other verse is right at the end. No problem, Isabella. No problem. Because normally we go from PowerPoint to PowerPoint. That's normal, but we're not. Okay, that whosoever believes in him. All right, so what's our part? Belief. Now, that seems pretty simple, right? It seems simple. Do you know what I think one of the most honest statements in the whole Bible is? Well, all of it. Ah, sorry, that was horrible. Okay, there's a story in the Bible about this guy who wants Jesus to heal his kid, and Jesus is talking about him not having the faith or belief. He's like, I'm sorry, help my unbelief, help me believe. Like, he's just like, I'm sorry, help me believe. I need help my unbelief. So I think that kind of statement is good. So it kind of gives us a picture of, yeah, you know what? It's hard to believe. And so here's where I want to go with this. Okay, we got 5 minutes left. I think this is the main area that Satan wants to attack us in. Okay? So if you're a Christian, Satan wants to get you here because this is our part, right? So he can't do anything about God's loving the world. He cannot do anything about God giving his son. He cannot do anything there. The only thing, Satan's a very limited being. The only thing that he can warp or change in this whole situation is to try and mess with your belief. So you want to know why it's really hard to believe when you're older? There's a lot of reasons. Okay? No, there is a lot of reasons. One, you get more knowledge, right? And so you, more ideas, right? So you're like, your mind starts developing. You're able to think about things critically, right? This is what we want you guys to do here. We don't want you just to swallow everything up going like, oh, wow, this is what we believe. We want you to actually think about it. We want you to make up your own mind. This is part of what why we do Ignite is we want you guys for your faith to become your own, okay? We want that to happen. So your mind is developing. You're finding new ideas. There's lots of belief systems out there you weren't aware of, right, as a little kid. So, like Everett, my 8-year-old, she has no clue about what Buddhists believe or Hindus. And even if she was just like, what, they believe something different? Well, how could that be? Right? That's weird. Right? Yeah. Right? But as your mind develops, you start this ability. And you guys, you need to understand that this is not a curse. Your mind developing and growing up and becoming an adult and having more independence and thinking for things about for yourself, it may be difficult to navigate through and it may be difficult to believe, but that's not a bad thing. I don't want you to think that it's bad. If you have doubts, it's not bad to have doubts. It means you're thinking about stuff. And this is why one of the reasons why we do Ignite. So if you do have doubts, you can come, you can talk about stuff, you can discover things, you can ask questions. And you can hear teaching from the Bible, and we can sing songs to Jesus, and we can talk to our leaders and talk to each other. And we have this safe place where we can actually voice some doubts. And nobody's going to jump on you except Ian. He's going to come with the hammer. No. We talked about this before. He's going to elbow smash anyway. Yeah. Bible thumper. Hit him with the Bible. Knock the doubt out of him. No, the last thing we want you guys to do is let your doubts hold you hostage. Okay? What that means is you keep them inside and you never talk about them, your doubt is actually controlling you. So, see, he didn't keep it in, so he actually doesn't doubt it. Right? So we want you to express those things and talk about, that's another reason we have the small groups. I mean, going through these questions, you guys have an opportunity to talk and actually try to figure out why you believe stuff and what's behind it. All right. So it sounds simple. Okay, so those are some of the external things that are going on in your life and internal things like your development and all that kind of stuff. And then you have friends that believe other things, right? And they're good friends. Well, okay, maybe you don't yet. Maybe you don't have friends. I don't know. I'm sorry, Tyler. That was bad. Bad, I'm sorry. Okay, all right. People just start moving back. Okay, sorry, I got to stop doing that. Okay, so then you have all these, people that you really care about start maybe believe other things, and it tugs at your soul. And then you start thinking, well, am I right? Am I wrong? What's going on here? Again, that's not a bad thing. You take those things to Jesus, you take those things to people that love Jesus and love you, and you talk them through, okay? But here's what's going on in the unseen world, is that Satan wants you to doubt, first of all, that God's word's true, okay? I've talked about this a number of times. When you go back into Genesis and you look at what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve, first thing he did was try to cast doubt in Eve's mind that what God said was true. Did God really say that? Are you sure? I don't know. And if he did, it's not what he means, right? He didn't really mean that, right? So they cast doubt. And here's the thing, and I said it before, if the doubt starts to invade your soul at a deeper level, right on its heels is a doubt that God actually loves you. See, Satan's he's a smart being, okay? He understands that if he can mess with that belief system and make you doubt that what God, that God is truth, that what God says is true, it's like, maybe not. He knows that the consequences of that will be you will deeply struggle with whether God loves you. They started doubting. Yeah, they didn't believe it. They didn't believe what God had said. So the next step was that, okay, so now that you're disbelieving what God's word is and you're starting to doubt God's love, now he moves in with the kind of the hammer and goes like, God's holding out on you. You know that? Look at all those people. They're having so much fun. You hear all the stories, what they're doing. He's holding out on you. That's what you should be doing then. You'd really be living life. Seriously, right? That's what he does. This is his tactic, and he gets us. He's been doing it since the beginning of time. He's still doing it today. He's done it to me a million times, and I've fallen for it. He's done it to you. Every single one of you guys have fallen for that too. This is, he doesn't even have to change his strategy. It's the same over and over because we keep falling into it. And you would think that if this incredible being kept watching and seeing us over and over and over, struggle with our belief, letting Satan get through, doubting that he's true, rebelling against him and what he wants, that he would just be like, okay, so I'm putting myself in God's place right now. I would be like, forget these people. They suck. Whoosh. Let's start with some new ones. Let's create. Yeah, I'm going to go with new stuff. Right? But he didn't do that. Why? Because God's love is unconditional for us. I know I'm saying this a few times about the unconditional stuff, but we are going to delve into that a little deeper in a couple of weeks. We're going to talk about what God's unconditional love actually looks like. And I think it's going to be good. So if God's holding out, if you're starting to doubt his word, you're starting to doubt that he loves you, he's getting you to think that God's holding out on you. He's dragging you into a pit. And what's going to happen is you're going to bite. And believe me, this is going to happen over and over in your life. So right now, it just blows me away that God's love for us is so amazing. Even though he's watching this happen in each one of our lives, that he doesn't just zap us with a lightning bolt, right? It's crazy. But his love is so deep for you that he watches you do that. And he leads you out of it each and every time. Okay, if you're a Christian, if you love Jesus, this is what he does every single time. So if you're about 15, let's say, you've sinned at least, I don't know, a couple million times already. I'm serious. Like, I'm not even kidding. Right? There's maybe not even a moment where we don't sin somehow. I don't know. But each and every single time, God just, he doesn't get frustrated going like, are you kidding me? Like, Ian, again, like I just did this 5 minutes ago, right? No, guys, God isn't like that. That is not the way he loves. Each and every time, he's like, come on, Ian, I got you. Come on, Chris, you're okay. I got you. Okay? I think that is the core thing. So how do we combat this is the kind of the last thing here. Oh, sorry, the outcome. The outcome to this all thing, there's a big promise in here, right? Shall not perish, but have eternal life. So there is a reward for your belief. And as crappy as, I guess I can say that, as crappy as our belief is and how little and insignificant it is, the reward is eternal life. And it's, okay, so when you think of eternal life, you're probably thinking of heaven. But the Bible's view of eternal life is bigger than that. Eternal life has already started for the Christian, okay? Jesus said this in John 17. Eternal life, to know God, okay? And his son. That is eternal life, to know. Okay, I can't go there. That's a whole nother sermon. Okay. What's that? Yeah, well, it's always been like that. So here's a story from Genesis chapter 12, I think it's about, or maybe 15, one of those two. It's Abraham. And God says that he credits righteousness to Abraham because of his faith. So this is what God, this is the design right from the beginning. God knew that we could never get to him on our own. That our own good deeds and our own good works and good thoughts, we could never actually get to God. Like, it was just, we'd always fall short, right? And so he knew that he would have to give us his righteousness. We'd have to give us all of these things, that it wouldn't be on our own. We can't do it. Does that answer the question? All right. Okay, good. Because I need to finish. Okay, so God's promise is not just for heaven, but it's today also. John 10:10. Here we go, Isabella. So this is what we need to keep in mind. Okay, there's a few verses. We use this lots at youth. This is one of my favorite verses. And one of the reasons why is when I'm doubting that, or when I'm thinking God is holding out on me, this is where you go. The thief only comes only, right? Only. He doesn't come for anything else. To steal, and the thief is, right, kill and destroy. But I, who's I? Jesus, have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Okay? So when you think God is holding out on you, when you're looking at your buddies and they're doing this and doing that, and they're saying it's so much fun, and you're like, God, you're just holding out on me. This is where you go, right? Oh, yeah. That all of this stuff is, all of the stuff that's in the Bible is motivated by God's love. He loves me deeply. And in the end, this is the opposite, that the thief, Satan, is coming to kill, steal, and destroy. All right. So what are we going to do about it, you guys? We're going to have small groups. That's what we're going to do about it. All right. So I got four things, and then we'll go to a small group. I can do these in like 1 minute. They're just four ideas about what can help us remember that God loves us. Number one, make sure you are constantly engaged in good biblical teaching. What? Consistently, sorry. Okay, constantly, whatever. This means regularly, right? So here's how this looks, you guys. So Ignite is one of those things, okay, where we teach the Bible, you can come, and then you even get that small group time where you can talk and express some things. There's church on Sunday, right? There's not all you come to this church. Some of you guys go to the community church or whatever church, whatever. That's an opportunity, okay? There's discussions with friends. Okay, so for instance, our, you know what, that's, I don't have time for this, sorry. So you can have this, you know, a spiritual discussion with a friend. Like, you don't have to come to church to talk about God, right? You can talk about God anytime. Okay, so that's make it a kind of thing in your life. You know what? I need to, I go to school every day and get taught like science and math and all this other stuff. And so why not be taught about Jesus on a regular basis too, right? So that's one of the ways we can counteract what Satan's trying to destroy in us. Secondly, you can lean on each other. You guys realize that the reason, or one of the reasons that God created the church, was so that we could do this together, that we could lean on each other, that we could, again, that where are you going to talk about doubts if there's no safe place, right? Okay, so that's two. Third, learn to read the Bible for yourself. Now, some of you guys are going like, what? I don't read. Well, that's a tough one. But if you want to know God, then you got to get into the Bible. And believe me, I'm not saying like you got to read like 50 chapters a day to be like super spiritual like Tyler. No, it starts maybe just by reading a verse a day, right? Just getting a little bit of a hunger and a taste for God's word, learning to read it for yourself. It's like a kid who's at the table, and so we have a little kid at the table. His name is Titus. And over the last couple of years, he's learned to feed himself. Now, it would be way easier if we fed him because he makes a terrible mess. And we eat rice all the time. There's just rice everywhere. Seriously, it's cut. Like, you walk into our house and you walk into our kitchen, you're like, why is there rice in the wall and the ceilings? Right? Okay, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. I'm exaggerating. But he's a messy eater. But here's what we have to do as good parents. At some point, we got to stop feeding him and let him feed himself, right? So I think it's the same thing. Like, it's not that you stop getting fed from things like Ignite, but it's that you also learn to feed yourself a little bit is really important. And lastly, okay, this is a big one, and we're going to talk about this. I'm just this kind of a thing for in a couple weeks. Learn not to trust your feelings over the truth. Because you want to know where Satan gets in there and really gets your doubts going? It's the feelings. Because your feelings aren't necessarily true. Right? They're just feelings. And that doesn't mean they're bad or it doesn't mean they're good. They're just feelings. This is how you feel. It doesn't necessarily mean what you feel is true. Okay, that's really, really important to learn how to separate those things. How you feel by what you know is true. All right, so that's it. That's way too much already. All right, so let me pray for you guys. And then I think there's some good questions in our small groups. There is question sheets at the back table there. All right, let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these students. Thank you for loving us. Like, it's amazing. And Lord, I pray over these next few weeks. Okay, today is just the beginning kind of thing. I pray over the next few weeks that you would communicate your love to us as a group and for individuals. Lord, that you would show us, give us a picture through your word and whatever other means that you love us, how deeply you love us. And Lord, I pray that it would radically change this group, that we would be different people after this next six weeks. Completely different. Because we understand and really believe that you love us. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.